I was in Washington, D.C. almost the entire week last week, and I want to tell you about it because it was something that the Lord really kind of had to get a hold of me to get me there, and then being there was really sort of amazing. Last fall, somewhere around the November, early December time frame, I received a call from Monty Sharp, the student ministries, student venture head, has spoken here several times. He's a friend of mine, and he invited me to go with a group of pastors from California to a conference in Washington, D.C. called Watchmen on the Wall. The idea was that, and Monty's explanation of it was just too cryptic for me to digest. I was in Sioux City or Sioux Falls or whichever one of those is in Iowa at a national volleyball tournament, college volleyball tournament with Becca and Becky, and I'm in the lodge just trying to understand what this is. You know, Monty asked me to pray about it. I just said, I'm not sure that I'm really all that interested to go to Washington and, you know, discuss our political arena and change in those arenas. And so then I watched one of the presidential debates, and then I got a lot more motivated to want to get more informed. So I thought, wow, there's such a high knucklehead factor going on here. And I need to, as somebody who's given some influence, at least to go and get more informed. I was afraid, honestly, to go. I was afraid isn't the right word. I was hesitant to go because, and I'm going to express my bias here to you, and don't hate me. I want you to promise that you don't hate me before I say this. Okay, go like this. I won't hate you. All right. But I'm particularly, I have been over the years, particularly irritated with right-wing, hawk, angry Republicans. Even though that's typically the direction that I vote, I can't stand the anger, the arrogance, the rancor, and all the acrimony from that side of the aisle. It drives me crazy. I think that, and for the Church of Jesus Christ, and that's what people think of us, that they think that we're just angry and mad about what's going on, and we just want to shoot off our mouth and not really do anything about it. And I'm quite frankly bothered by that. And I was concerned that if I was going, I was just going to a hate Obama rally, you know, and I just wouldn't want to sign up for that. I'm glad that we elected a black president. I'm just not really pleased with this particular one, personally. I'm not trying to inflict that on you. I'm just saying that that's where I'm at personally. So I went, it was all expenses paid. A number of donors were paid for a delegation from California to go to this conference of about 700 pastors in Washington, D.C. There were 70 of us from California, and we all flew on the same plane from LAX, and we had fun. I mean, this is a fun group of every color and shape, and it was just fun. I mean, these people, and there were chandelier swinging Pentecostals all the way to, you know, to conservative evangelicals and everything in between. And we had fun. I mean, we became fast friends. I mean, it was relationally, it was off the charts rich, which for me is just, it just feeds my soul. But we got there. And again, I'm cautious. I come into the first day, we had a bunch of stuff just planned for our delegation from California. And mind you, I'm invited to this. I don't know why I would be invited to this. I mean, really, I kept on asking that question. Like, why would you invite me? Why wouldn't you invite somebody that actually has some influence or something? But they invited me, and so I went. And while we're there, the first day, we flew in on a red eye. We left on Tuesday night at 10 and got into D.C. at 5 in the morning with 1 hour of sleep. And then into this incredible day, we went to this law firm that's called Alliance Defending Freedom, I think is what it's called. And we were presented a number of briefings there by lawyers that are addressing President Obama's LGBTQ edict in the public school and different kind of things like that. And get this, these lawyers are in their 20s. I was inspired, you know, I was just like, This gal's probably 26. She's taking on. She won a particular significantly high profile case in this. And these guys are giving us these briefings. And I was so inspired that people from your generation, you know, were out there making a difference in the public square. It was incredible. I was really inspired by that. All of us, I think, were kind of taken by the level of intelligence, the level of grace. What I saw in the entire thing, bell to bell, not a single exception. I mean, Ann Graham Lott spoke, Sheila Walsh spoke, we had congressmen and senators, and we met that first day. We went to U.S. Senator John Thune's office. He's the, and there was about 20, 25 of us, I think, that went to his office to meet with him and just ask questions. And then we met in his small boardroom in the Senate office building, you know, next door to the Capitol. And what a godly man, the real deal. No pretense, no, you know, he didn't say anything to us for effect or anything. He shared his heart with us. He's a little guarded at first because I think he thought, you know, what do these people want from me? That's what politicians normally think in the whole thing. But we had a really good time. One of the gals in our group asked them this question. I thought it was really a good question. She said, if you needed to say something to us that you knew would be something that needed to be said but would be really hard for us to swallow, what would that be? And I thought, that is a killer good question. I wouldn't even thought of that. Please ask only questions that please us, or answer only questions that really would tickle our ears. And he said, he thought for a moment, and then he said, there's not going to be any change in this country without sacrifice and very hard work. Lots of sacrifice and very hard work. If we want to see this country take to change course from the spiral that we're in, and we are in a spiral, would you agree? We're in a spiral as a country. And if we want to see something, if we want to see ourselves change course, we're going to have to, it's going to take hard work. And it's not just going to take hard work for the people in Washington. They can't do that much. Really, the conference was about pastors igniting their churches to take our place in the public sphere rather than just abdicating it to the evil one and to the to whatever agenda that people want, all under the guise of human rights. I have to say I have been asleep at the wheel practically my entire life. I have not wanted, because of the anger and the rancor that I felt from my brothers, of whom I agree with from a voting point of view, but don't from an attitude point of view, that I think I just said, I don't want to play. But one of the gals, probably 28, was giving a briefing at the Alliance Defending Freedom. That we had lunch at the office building where they are. And she said that she had won this high-profile case in the LGBT arena, but as she was when she finished, she looked over at the lawyer that had lost, and he was just sitting there with a big smile on his face. And she walked over and she said, "Why are you smiling? You just lost." And he said, "Because it's not going to stay that way. We own the schools, and because we own the schools, we've got 10 years until we flood the populace with people that are all on our paradigm in terms of what we think." And I thought, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And what she followed that up with was the people on the other side of the aisle, so to speak. I didn't hear any of this, you know, Republican, Democrat thing, but every once in a while somebody would say on the other side of the aisle. That was it. There was just not. These people are Christ-loving people, but they also love our country. And I didn't love our country adequately, but I'm catching on. She said that the other side of the aisle has been particularly effective at the grassroots level of getting people into the school boards, all underneath the noses of the voting populace. And I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, for those of you that can vote, and hopefully you do vote, and you should register if you can, go like this, all right. But the idea here was that I get a ballot, and it's got school board members all over, you know, and I don't know any of these people, and I'm seeing their signs around town, and whoever's the nicest looking ones I might be more attracted to, but I typically don't vote on any of those things because I don't know who these people are, and I don't want to cast a vote for somebody I don't know, so I don't vote. Well, what's that? That's irresponsible. Huh? Look it up? Yeah, so what they were saying was, go and sit down and have coffee. That's what I'm going to be doing with Myriad and Temecula school board members that are running for school. I'm going to sit down and have some coffee and ask some questions. Say, what are you about? And what are you not about? And you'll get my vote and perhaps some of ours. But if we think that you're about some good stuff, and you won't if we don't. But do you see what I'm saying? I mean, I know that most of you have done this. You're not like, you know, I'm going to research every one of these school board these school board positions. Most of you are like, nah, let's get the important stuff. The important stuff is right here in our municipality. Wow. So we had a time with, going back to the John Thune, the U.S. Senator from South Dakota, unseated Tom Daschle to get the seat. And really, really good guy. Went to Biola. Woo-woo! He, as we prayed for him, we had a prayer time with him in his chambers. And I'm with people that pray well. We had some Korean people with us. Oh, baby. I mean, they just yank heaven right down to earth when they're praying. But at the end of it, I felt like the Lord wanted me to bless him and to lead us in blessing him. And as we blessed him, as we spoke blessing over him and his family and over the decisions that he's making, all those different things, you could feel the Spirit just kind of go, you know, down on him. And it looked like that he almost started to cry, but that would be really improper for a U.S. senator. So that was one experience. The other one, and there's so many experiences. It was so rich, kind of overwhelming. And I had got so little sleep over this last week. I'm delirious. But we had a worship service in I called it the bowels of the Capitol. It's at the basement, the very basement of the Capitol building. And usually they'll have like one or two congressmen or senators come up and share their testimony. We had 10. And they were in session. And it just was one guy after another guy, and they all fed off of each other, you know. And I was like 1 hour sleep, like, oh, help me, Lord. This is really, really hard. I had to kind of stand up in the back, and I still think I fell asleep standing up. But those guys were so excited to share that they're in this business because Jesus hijacked them. Because of who Jesus is in their lives, that he called them, most of them said something along the lines of, I didn't want to do this, but I felt compelled by God to do something significant, to get out and to make a difference. And so and somebody said, well, why not you? And so they did. That was over and over again, the same kind of deal. Then we go up through a tour of the Capitol. There's a guy named Barton that you should, if you don't haven't heard of him before, but who basically takes us back to the all the founding fathers and what kind of relationships with God that they have. And the nice thing about all of our founding fathers and the relationship with God that they have is that all their prayers are written and dated. So we know the heart that these people have because they're in written prayers, because when they came together as people, they didn't just do the spontaneous stuff like we do. They brought their prayers that they had thought about and considered, and then they prayed these prayers at public meetings. And before Congress, I mean, at one point in time before the Declaration of Independence was signed, I think it was John Adams and Jefferson were just at each other's throats. There was an impasse. They decided to call a recess in the whole thing, and one of the guys that's a signer of our Declaration of Independence, a pastor, called everybody to come back together. They prayed for a whole day and then got back to the business of negotiating the documents that are the founding of our country. Wow. So, okay, as much as that isn't cool, we get through that. We get into the rotunda. You know, that's underneath the dome of our Capitol. And we're there. We've done a tour. There's all these big paintings all over the walls in the rotunda there. And the guy has told us story after story after story, just going person after person after person. This guy, this is the kind of walk that he had with the Lord, read us a prayer, read us something that the guy wrote. I mean, it was overwhelming. Of the heart that was in the documents that founded our country. And then at the end of that, 7 of the congressmen, most of them had given their testimony at the service. They kind of came in and they informed us that that the House was in session and that they were voting on a House appropriations bill. I'm going to see if I can say this right, okay? A House appropriations bill, which was a water and power bill, but that one side, who will remain nameless, snuck in an LGBT reinforcement clause, basically so that the government would have more teeth in enforcing that our public schools have to have bathrooms for people that are sexually confused. And sorry, that's a bad way of saying that. No, I'm sorry, because that's what I'm trying to avoid. I'm really trying to avoid that. So I'm really, truly sorry. But the LGBT thing is, it wasn't just gay marriage. Now it's trickling and it's going. Does that make sense? That the gay marriage thing is solved, so now what's the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. We're talking about a very quick cultural erosion, deterioration for us. That's again, I was asleep at the wheel. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying, oh my gosh. So we get done. We know that this bill is in committee, which means there's a small group of congressmen who are debating this in committee. If they agree on that in committee, then it goes to the floor for a full vote. Does that make sense so far? So we're praying. We had the most rocking prayer meeting in the rotunda of our nation's capital. It was incredible. I mean, we had, I'm going to say it only because it matters. We had a black guy that just lit the place on fire. He prayed, and then we got congressmen praying, and it's there's probably 70 or 80 of us in there. We pray and sing and pray and sing, and all this is in the rotunda of our nation's capital. Incredible. I mean, the Spirit of God so thick in the air. Wow. So we find out the next morning that it passed in committee, and then it was submitted to the floor, and it was soundly, in a bipartisan way, voted down. It was crushed, that particular thing. So it's like, wow. And we felt like we got to be a part of history at some level, at least as part of it, that we got to pray to do one of the most effective things that Christians can do in the public sphere, in our nation's capital, in the seat of power, perhaps on the whole planet. It was incredible. I was just blown away, honestly, folks. I felt humiliated that I have stayed out of this sphere for so long. But no more. I found that these people love Jesus more than anything else. And we had congressman, governor. The governor of Mississippi has actually put through legislation to protect religious freedom within his state, and it's revolutionary, and he's gotten so much garbage from the opposition and the whole, it's incredible. He got up, they gave him an award, and he said, I'm no hero. I'm just trying to do the thing that God has put me on the watch for. I'm trying to man my watch. What about you guys? And he was so, I mean, honestly, folks, I saw these people, they're the real deal. These are people that we want at the helm. And God is working in our nation's capital. It's not absent the stuff that you hear, that we hear on the news is so slanted. But there are some really good people there. Honestly, I went and got some prayer from a prayer team, came back in, and the U.S. Senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse, he was speaking. And I'm like, I lean over to my roommate in the whole thing, and I said, because this guy's like dynamic. He's Harvard and Yale, educated, and just dynamic and kind of really amazing. And I'm like, who's that speaking? And he said, Mr. President. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Because this is the kind of guy that could easily be it. First term, from Nebraska. But again, I'm not used to being in these spheres, but I'm so grateful. And so here's the challenge. We need to, as a people, before the election that's coming up, we need to get informed as a people, all of us, young and old, everybody that has a vote, we need to get informed. And I'm not going to pick it, but I want to be informed, and I wanted to see, I'm going to start meeting. I actually became fast friends with Doug McAllister, the former mayor of Murrieta, and great guy. I spent a lot of time with him. He's a guy I'll be friends with for, a long, long time. But he actually he was elected as a councilman in Murrieta. Once he got to be mayor of Murrieta, he just started hiring Christians at the central post of the whole thing, changed the entire culture. Murrieta was a train wreck. Doug came in and turned the whole ship around. You guys, you young people, we're getting old. I'm 57. But the economics of age work better in your favor. You guys aim high. We need people that are running for office. We need people who are standing in the places of power with God's agenda. I found that these people love Jesus. Here's the last thing I'll say. And you guys have never heard me say anything like this. You're like, who is this person? I've never said anything like this. But these people love Jesus, and they love our country. Somehow, those two things finally connected with me. that it's okay to love our country without having to say that we do everything right, or that we, you know, without wrapping Christianity in an American flag. But still, as a Christ follower that's completely sold out to Him, I can love my country, and that's meaningful, and I can take my place and be a part of people taking their place in the public square, in the public discussion, and making a difference, and not just conceding that our country has to go to hell in a handbasket just because that's the way that it's going right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not a political strategist. I'm not. I have no interest in that. But I do believe we need to get informed and we need to get involved. Amen? All right. So I've been glad to talk. It was like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, the whole time. It was just so much input. You lost a lot of teeth, you know, but you got wet. It was incredible, really incredible. And I did not find any partisan politicking going on. I was really blessed by that. I found people leading with their love for Jesus and their love for people and their love for our country. And I can get on board with that.